Alright, Shavuot, say good morning. Another beautiful and exciting daf today. Today's daf is Tzadik Gimel 93. And we are picking up on Tzadik Beis Amud Beis 92b, the last two lines. Tana Debeit Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Shavuot, say a shir this morning is dedicated by Mr. Isaac Samuel, memory of his beloved wife, Esther Bas Hadichiel Meir HaKohen, in the hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an ali in the family in the Chama. And by Adam and Yudit Ben Zev, who are dedicating the Shiurim this month in honor of their Mishpacha, in honor of their Kehila, we thank them very much for their sponsorship. So let's begin. Tana Debeit Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So in a beautiful and moving Gemara. Afilu b'shas ha-sakana lo yishana adam es atzvam min ha-rabbanu shalo. This is an amazing statement. Even in a time of danger, a person should not change himself. Now there's a very interesting lesson over here. A person should not change himself from his rabbanus. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's on the left-hand column towards the end. Al yishana ad min ha-rabbanu shalo. Shari chanani mishal va-azarya hayu levushin bigdei tif'arton kishahushlichu l'kivshan. So this is actually a very dramatic Gemara. In this context, Rabbanus means their regal bearing. Regal bearing. So the idea over here is that even when a person is in Sakana, they should keep their regal bearing, their Rabbanus. So what does that mean on a practical level? What it means is that a person should keep their composure even under difficult circumstances. Where do we learn this from? Shene Emar, Badoin Gabriel Allah Kafsa Besar Belayon, Pashtan Bekabalasson. So the quoting over here from Daniel, the Gemara says that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, even when they were thrown into the Kifshana Ish, they wore their royal garments. The Gemara is teaching us an incredible yisod. There's a number of incredible lessons over here about, unfortunately, the Jew has been in Sakana throughout so many generations. And part of the power of the Jew is the ability to maintain a regal composure, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Rashi says, when we do that, ultimately, again, we show our enemies that we are cut from a different cloth. We show our enemies that ultimately, again, we have a different kind of koach than everyone else. Of course, on a different level, what the Gemara is also teaching us is that in general, sometimes, unfortunately, people lose themselves in the midst of difficult circumstances, and we end up compounding the difficulty of our circumstances because we can't maintain a proper composure. When one finds themselves in the midst of sakana, either acute sakanas nefashos or anything else, it's important to maintain one's bearing and one's composure. The Gemara goes right to Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gidolim tzadikim, was actually a very beautiful Gemara, top of tzadikim. Gidolim tzadikim yosher malachi asharis. Tzadikim are even greater. The righteous are greater than angels, than malachi asharis. Shnei Amar. So the quotes over here, the pasuk from Daniel, Ana va'amar. So this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. Nebuchadnezzar said, Ha ana chazi guvern arbo, sharyon mahalchin begonura. I see four men walking around in the fire. Vechevelo I see bahon, and the fire is not impacting them. Verav yedei revia demar levar Elohim. And one of them looks like an angel. So the Gemara stands over here, the fact that he singled out one that looks like an angel indicates that the other three looked even holier. So from here you see the Gemara says that people, tzaddikim, are even greater than malachi asher. So what's that? I'll tell you something. I saw something very beautiful. That in the Sefer Moshe Anshal Yisrael, he quotes over here from the Satmar Rebbe. So on the Yom Tov, so this actually just happened. He says, Belel Yom Tov Shal Sukkis, Shechal Belel Shabbos Kodesh. When Sukkis fell out, it's not just Sukkis, it's any Yom Tov, fell out on Shabbos Kodesh. So the Rebbe would say, Tivu Tivu Ushpizin Eloim, Kodin Sh'amar Achar Shalom Aleichem. So it was the minhag by the Satmar Rebbe that they would say, differences of opinion as to whether or not you say Shalom Aleichem when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincide. So, for example, a Salvechik, many others felt you don't have to say Shalom Aleichem because Yom Tov already puts you in a state of Aliyah L'Regel. You don't have to welcome the Malachim into your home because you're already by the Mikdash. Satan Rebbe would say Shalom Aleichem. But amazingly enough, he would first say Ushpizin before he would go ahead and say Shalom Aleichem. And why? V'amar davar nechma b'taima d'milsa. Ki anan kaimalon gidolim tzadikim yoser mimalachi hasharis. So beautiful. He says, since the Gemara paskins that tzadikim are even greater than malachim, therefore what? he would recite the Yushpizim, welcoming the Malachim, welcoming the Tzadikim, before he would recite Shalom Aleichem, welcoming Malachim. Quite beautiful. Amar Rabbi Tanu Chum Bar Chani Loi. B'shoshe Tuchanani Mishal V'Azar Mekiv Shana Eish. Another amazing Gemara. One amazing Gemara after the next. When Chanani Mishal V'Azar came out of the furnace, right? Nebuchadnezzar threw them in. Miraculously, they came out. Bo'u Kol Umas Sa'olim V'Tavchu L'Sonen Shal Yisrael Al Peneim. So the Gentiles, the nations of the world came and gave a patch and pun, and he would gave a smack to the Klal Yisrael. Now, Sonen Shal Yisrael refers to Jews who are sinners. So they came and they gave Musar to the Jews who sinned. And they said, Amr Lohem, Yesh Lohem Eloka Kazeh, Va'ata Mishtachavim Letzelem. So listen to this. When the nations of the world saw that God, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had saved, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so the nations of the world come, they give a patch and panim to the Jews who are worshipping Avodah Zarah. They say, what's the matter with you? You have a God who can do this, and you're worshipping idolatry? Incredible. Getting Musa from the Gentiles. The Musa va'amru, miyad pasuk va'amru, immediately they said, L'cha Hashem atztaka, v'lanu boshes ha'panim. So immediately they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are the righteous one, and we are embarrassed. I'm Rabbi Shlomo Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonason. My dichsiv, amarti ale betamar, ochza besan sanav. So what's the meaning of the pasuk, Rabbi Osei, from Shira Shirim? Amarti ale betamar, I said that I will ascend the palm tree. Ochza besan sanav, but I only end up grabbing the branches. So the Gemara says, Amarti Allah b'tamar, when it says, I will go up the palm tree, so what does that refer to? Elu Yisrael, this refers to Klal Yisrael. V'achshav lo Allah ebiyadi ela sansan echad shel Hanani Mishael ben Azariah. So the Rosh Hashanah is lamenting, I thought all of Klal Yisrael was going to be holy, I thought all of Klal Yisrael was going to be wonderful, but it turns out that all that I'm able to hold on to is the branch. The branch ultimately, again, a reference to Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsiv. So Rabbi Yochanan said, what's the meaning of the pasuk that says, Ra'isi halayla, v'nei roch ish rochev al sus adom, v'omeid ben ha'adas and asher v'metula. So we'll say, what's the meaning of the following pasuk? In Zechariah, I had a vision at night, and I saw a man riding on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle branches, asher v'metula, that are inside of the swamp. So the Gemara says, Myra isi halayla. What does it mean ultimately again that I saw this vision at night? The Ribon Shalom was ready to turn the entire world into night. In other words, this is talking about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was terribly upset and frustrated by the Avodah Zarah of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he was ready to turn the entire world into night. V'hine ish rochev, and a man was riding on the red horse. Who is the man? Ein ish ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The man refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shene Emar, Hashem ish milchama, Hashem shemo. Asus ad Adam. What does it mean that it was a red horse? So we'll say the red horse ultimately represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to go ahead and destroy the entire world. Literally, again, the red represents blood. So the Gemara says, but when the Ribon Shalom saw Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, he calmed down. So the Ribon Shalom was able to calm down ultimately again as a result of just seeing a few tzaddikim. The Ribon Shalom stood amongst the myrtle branches that were in the marsh, in the swamp. The Adasim, who are the Adasim? Ela Tzadikim. So the myrtle branches refer to the Tzadikim Shene Amar Vahi Omein Esadas from Megillas Esther, right? Because the Megillah, remember from our Megillah days, the Megillah refers to Esther Hamalka as Hadassah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion as to what's her real name. Is it Hadassah? Is it Esther? So the Gemara says it's really Esther, but Hadassah is a descriptive name because the righteous are as fragrant as the Hadassim. Ve'in Mitzula, and what does the swamp or the marsh refer to? Ela Bavel. Shene Amar Ha'omer Letzula Charbi V'narosecha Ovish Miad Maleim Rogez Nasim Srukim Vadum Snasa Srukim Vadumim Nasu Levanim. So Amara Papa Shmamino Susyobo said the idea is at the end of the vision, what happens? The red horse becomes white. So the idea of the red horse becoming white, the white representing forgiveness. Amara Papa Shmamino Susyoch Yura Mali Lachamos. So this is actually very interesting. Rav Papa says, you see from here that what? That if you see a white horse in a dream, it is a good omen. A white horse apparently represents divine forgiveness. So if one sees it in a dream, it is indeed a good omen. For Rabbanan Lehechon Azal, so this is amazing. Okay, so now going back to the story of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are saved from the Kivshan Ha'esh. They're saved from the fiery furnace. So ask the Gemara, after they were saved, where did they go? What the Gemara is pointing out over here is that after they're saved, we don't really hear that much about them. We don't hear about them. So where did they go? So this is amazing. So the Gemara says, Amarav ba'ayin hara mesu. Rav said, they died. They died as a result of ayin hara. So we've spoken about ayin hara a number of times already. Rashi says on the right-hand column, about 8 lines up from the bottom, 9 lines up from the bottom, ba'ayin hara mesu, shoy mistaklim bahen, al shayu temein bahen. So we'll say, so apparently, again, they became the subject of much attention. They became the subject of much attention as a result of their miraculous salvation. And some way, somehow, the Ayin Hara had an impact on them. You know, the Ben Yehoyada has a whole piece on this, what exactly it means. You know, in general, when we spoke about Ayin Hara, remember again, we spoke about Ayin Hara in the context of that if I have brachos, the Moshe gives me a bracha, and I use that bracha in a way which causes someone else pain. So the Ribono Shel Olam says, I don't need to give you a bracha to cause someone else pain. If your bracha is going to cause someone else pain, you're not careful with your brachos, then I'm taking the bracha back. That's the classical understanding. Maral's understanding of Ayin Hara doesn't really fit as well over here. Sounds like over here what's happening is that because they had this incredible salvation, so Lemaisa, again, they were put under the microscope by the rest of Klal Yisrael and could not stand up to that level of scrutiny. So the Gemara goes weiter. That's the first of it. Shmuel Amar, Berok Tivu. Here's another amazing answer. The Gemara says, the other possibility is they drowned in the rok, in the spit. What does that refer to? Look at Rashi. Berok Tivu. So the Gemara says over here that, remember, as we said before, that the Umos, all the other nations came along and spit at Klal Yisrael after Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah came out from the Kibshan. They spit at Klal Yisrael and said, how can you worship idolatry when you're going and you have a God like this? So the Gemara says they drowned in the spit of the Umos Olam. What does that mean? So again, the Marasha comments on this and he says, what it means is that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah kind of bore the wrath. They had to bear the brunt of the wrath for Klal Yisrael. That because Klal Yisrael really made an incredible Chil Hashem, that even the Umos HaOlam saw the folly in their worship of Avodah Zarah, so Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah bear the collective guilt for the Am, and as a result die because of the Chil Hashem. Rabbi Yeshua, excuse me, Vacham, the Chum say no, Alul Yeretz Yisrael, they made Aliyah, Vinosu, Noshin, they got married, Vaholidu, Banim, Ubanos, and they had children. And their children, Shene Emar, Shemano Yoshua, Kohen Godel, Atav Re'echa, Yoshua Nefanecha, Ki Anshe Mofes Hema. Because Rabbi says, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, speaking to Yoshua the Kohen Godel, we'll come back and talk about a little bit more, see that there are some incredible Anshe Mofes, men of great wonder, who are dwelling amongst you. Who are the men of great wonder who are living next to Yoshua, Kohen Godel, and Eretz Yisrael? They are none other than Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Vidoniel, Lehechon Azal. Now, both say, now understand, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are contemporaries of Daniel. That's why, again, the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah is quoted in Sefer Daniel. So the obvious shaila is, Nebuchadnezzar throws Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into the Kivshan Ha'esh, into the fiery furnace. Why? Because as we saw in yesterday's daf, they would not bow down to his idol. He had a large golden statue of himself. He commanded everyone to bow down to it. They would not bow down to it. So and therefore they're thrown into the fiery furnace. The obvious kasha is, Bepashtos, where was Daniel? So where was Daniel in all this? So this is amazing. Daniel Lehechon Azal. So where did Daniel go? So the Gemara says, Amra Amarav, Lemichra Nara Vitveria. He went to dig a river in Tveria. He went to dig a river in Tveria. So I don't know if this means that he went to create the Kinneret. What it probably means is he went to create channels off the Kinneret to serve as waterways for other parts of Tveria. Okay. Ushmuel Rishmuel says, La suye bizra da aspasto. He went to go ahead and bring in an import of aspasta. Aspasta is animal feed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar La suye chaziri da lachzandru shal Mitzrayim. He went to bring in chazirim. Of pigs from Alexandria. So he went to import for the king, for Nebuchadnezzar. He went to get Alexandrian Chazirim. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that so? Vahatanya, in other words, I will say, the Gemara is asking, is it true that he went to get Chazirim from Alexandria? Vahatanya, Todus Harofei Amar. So Todus, the doctor said, Ein para v'chazer yotzim Alexandria shal Mitzrayim, shein chotchina im shalom. That the Alexandrians were smart. What did they know? They wanted to corner the market on the breeding of Alexandrian Chazirim. Chazerim and cows. So what would they do? Literally means chotchanaim, they would cut the uterus. They would make sure that anything that they exported was unable of bear children. This way again, they would corner the market on Alexandrian chazerim and paros. So the Gemara says, so how could it be that Daniel went ahead and was able to export Alexandrian chazerim to breed them in Babel? To which the Gemara says, Zutri I see below dataihu. He was able, sounds like it will say that he was able to smuggle out small chazerim that they were unable to detect. So either again, it means he hid them, he smuggled them out, or it means that because they were small, the Alexandrians didn't think about cutting the womb on the animals. Whatever it is, he smuggled it out, got it back to Babel, and started breeding these herds in Babel. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha Yabao Se'itza, supposed to listen to this. The Gemara points out over here that Daniel was not present for the episode of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The fact that Daniel wasn't present was a result of the Eitza, the council of three entities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel, Unavuchanetzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar, Nezel, Daniel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Daniel present by the episode of the Kifshan Aish. Why not? Delo Leim Rubis Chuse Isnatzel. Sibo said, it's amazing. The Ribono Shel Olam wanted this miracle to occur in the merit of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The problem is, if Daniel was present and was thrown in as well, people would have automatically have assumed whose zechus were they saved? Whose zechus? Daniel. Therefore, in order to avoid that, ultimately again, Daniel's not there. So the Gemara says, "V'Daniel amar ezel mehacha, t'lo l'kayi be psile Eloheim tisrefun ba'esh." Daniel said, "I should leave here in order that they not fulfill through me that you should destroy their gods with fire." Now, both sides. To explain this, we're going to have to introduce the next dynamic. The Gemara says something amazing over here, which is that apparently we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel as a god. Worshipped Daniel as a god. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Worship Daniel as a god. So Daniel, look at Rashi just a moment. We'll say this in the left-hand column, about midway down. The Lord, the Kain be Pesile Elam Tisrafon Ba'ish, the Nebuchadnezzar Asa Eloka, Kedich Seb Ulo Daniel Azeh Sogid, Favile Ke Pesile Elohim, Shamikra Azeh Hayot Tzavach Aleim Lesraf Al Kachayim Misyari. Daniel was concerned, as we're going to see in just a moment, so Nebuchadnezzar went ahead and worshipped Daniel as a god. Daniel was concerned that if he was present by the episode of the Kivshan, what would happen? Klal Yisrael would be obligated to throw him into the Kivshan. Why? Because he himself was an Avodah Zarah. Therefore, again, he decides to remove himself from the Kivshan episode. Unevuchanetzer amar, Yezel Daniel mehacha, delolimru kaye leilohei, benura. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted Daniel out. Why? Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel was not going to bow to the idol, which would then place Nebuchadnezzar in a difficult predicament, which was, on one hand, Nebuchadnezzar says that Daniel felt Daniel was a god, that he worshipped him. On the other hand, he's not pledging allegiance to my idol, which would then mean Nebuchadnezzar would have to throw his own god into the Kivshan. No one respects someone who's willing to slaughter his own god. So he felt that his approval ratings would have gone down. Therefore, he sends Daniel out to dig waterways in Tiberia. So the Gemara says, Uminayin desagile, how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel? Tichsev, Badin Malkun Nebuchadnezzar, Nafal Alan Poil Daniel Sagid. Because the Pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, fell on his face and prayed to Daniel. Kamar Shem Tzavakos. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. And again, the story gets more intriguing. So this is in Sefer Yirmiyah. So the Pasuk says, Kamar Shem Tzavakos, Alake Yisrael, Al Achav Ben Kulya. So we'll say, so the Pasuk speaks about two false prophets, a man by the name of Achav ben Kulya and Sidkiah ben Maasiyah. These are two false prophets. So what happens? Uksiv, v'lokeach mem klal l'chol galos Yehuda asher b'bavel, neymor yisimcho Hashem ki Sidkiyahu u'ke'achav asher kalam melech b'bavel ba'ish, asher sarfam lo ne'emar ela asher kalam. So we'll say, listen to this. that ultimately, again, these two individuals were burned by Nebuchadnezzar in the Kiv Shanaish. Now, interestingly enough, it doesn't use Lashon of Sarfam, but rather it uses the Lashon of Kalam. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, why is that? Amr Mishnah Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Milomar Sha'asan Kiloki Kloyos. Because Nebuchadnezzar made them literally what was like toasted grain kernels. In other words, that they were that they died instantly because they were burned on the outside, but lav dafka that they were burned through and through. What happened to them? Ya'an asher asu nevala b'Yisrael, vayina'afu es nesheire ehem. So we'll say, the pasuk literally says, because they did an abomination within Klal Yisrael, and literally they committed adultery, or they committed immorality, with the wives of their friends. What happened? They both say it's a dramatic story. My Ovid, what did these two guys, Achav and Sidkiya, do? What did they do? Understand, these two guys were self-professed prophets. Okay, so what happens? They went to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. What happens? Achav Amrla. So Achav prophesies, quote unquote prophesizes, sir, and says, Ko Amar Hashem, God has told me, Hashmi'i al Tzidkiyah. God has told me that if Tzidkiyah comes to you and tells you that he wants to have relations with you, you shall listen to him. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. But Tzidkiyah said, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashmi el Achav. Tzidkiyah says, the word of God has come to me, and God has told me that if Achav comes and says that he wants to have relations with you, you should listen to him. You should listen to him. Listen to how amazing this is. Meaning, obviously, these guys were immoral individuals. So you would think, again, they could use their position of influence, you know, with anyone. You know, what a bad idea to go after the king's daughter. But obviously, you see two incredible things over here. Number one is the incredible pull of immorality. And I will say again, immorality makes people do crazy. Unfortunately, it's Maisim B'chol Yom that we see this. That because of immorality, people do so many impulsive things that make absolutely no sense, that literally ruin their lives each and every day. And I will say, the other piece over here is gaiva, is arrogance. When people are arrogant, they think they're above the law. When people are arrogant, they think they could do whatever they want and it'll never come back to them. So this for Tzidkiyah and for Achav is like the two, and by the way, it's two sides of the same coin. Immorality comes from an incredible sense of gaiva. Because if a person is arrogant and they think that they're the center of the world, therefore anything and everything I need to please me and make me happy is permissible. So really it's gaiva, and it's gaiva manifesting itself in a lust for immorality, and they're just going after the wrong girl. You can have whoever you want, but why the king's daughter? What happens? So listen to this. Azla va'amrla la'avua. So okay, now we already see where this plan is going to go. She tells her father, Dad, just want to let you know, the two pious prophets have both propositioned me. So what do you think about this? So Amrla have both said, listen to this, and here's the terrible chilul Hashem. Amrla elokeim shal edu sone zimahu. So Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, this makes no sense because everyone knows the God of the Jews despises immorality. Everyone, even Nebuchadnezzar, knows that the Jews are immoral people. So Nebuchadnezzar listens to, says to the Zohar, do me a favor. The next time they come to you, why don't you send them to me? Why don't you send them? Sure, you know, why don't you just, maybe you should speak to my father about this. So the Gemara says, so when they came back to her, she sent them to Nebuchadnezzar, to her father. So Nebuchadnezzar said to them essentially, what's going on with you guys? I mean, what are you saying these kind of things to my daughter? So Amru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said to him, listen, it's not us. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? What do you want from us? God is giving us this message. We're just doing our job. So Nebuchadnezzar says, by the way, I just want you to know, I asked other prophets, I asked Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah what they thought about these prophetic messages, and they said, you're lying. They said, you're lying. They said, God would never tell someone to do such a thing. We're also prophets. God didn't give Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah this message. God gave us this message. Amrulahu. So Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, there's only one way to resolve this. I have to test your prophetic prowess. The same way that I tested the prophetic prowess of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, how did I test the prophetic prowess of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? I threw them in a fiery furnace. If you don't mind, why don't you clear your afternoon tomorrow? I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace as well, and we're going to see what your we're going to see ultimately again what your power is. So listen to this. Amar lahu, Amar le, they said to him, Inun tla sahava va'anan train. So they said to him, listen, we are only two people. They're three. Meaning they have a lot. They had a lot more collective merit. That's why they were saved. It's not fair to throw us in with only two. So listen to this. So we'll say, Amar lahu, bachru luchon man de ba'isu b'hadaychu. You could phone a friend, right? Why don't you go ahead? You could choose someone else. No problem. Can you imagine this, right? You could choose someone else to go into the Kiv Shana Ish. I hear what you're saying. You need a third person to create, you know, the Helig Mizumim. So why don't you go ahead and just choose who you want? Amru, Yoshua Kohen Gadol. We choose Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Savri, Lacey Yoshua Dinafish Zuchuse. So we'll say, so obviously, you know, the incredible thing about false prophets is if there's one thing they know, it's what? They're false. So therefore, again, they figured, you know what, let's go ahead and get the holiest guy. They can't ask Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, nor can they ask Daniel, because it could be Daniel's not there. Whatever it is, we'll take Yeshua Kohen Gadol. Oh, Magdalene, he's going to go ahead and protect us. Ach Yisu Shadinu. So Nebuchadnezzar takes the three of them. Ach Achav, Tzidkiah, and Yoshua Kohen Gadol, throws them into the fire. Inu Iklu, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, Ichruche Mane. So the two of them, Achav and Tzidkiah, were incinerated. Yoshua, he was fine, but his clothing was singed. So the Gemara says, Shene Emar, Vayirani es Yoshua Kohen Gadol, Omele Fnei Malach Hashem Uksiv, Vayomar Hashem Ala Satan, Yigar Hashem Becha, Aronle, Yadana Zetzadikaat, So listen to this, about say. So Nebuchadnezzar, when he takes Yoshua Kohen Gadol out of the fire, he says, I don't understand. I know you're righteous, but you'll excuse me, why was your clothing burned? He says, after all, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, lo ahani behu klal. So I just want to tell you, when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah thrown into the Kivshan, not only were they not burnt, their clothing was unharmed as well, but yet you, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, why is it that you're... I mean, Nebuchadnezzar understood that on one hand, to be saved meant he was righteous, but the fact that his clothing was singed indicate that there was something there. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol has to deflect the question. Amarle, Inu Tla Sahavu Anachad. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol says, listen, they were three righteous men together. So their collective merits saved them in totality. I was one righteous man, along with two false prophets. I'm lucky I was able to get out of there alive. Amarle, Vaha Avram Yochidava. And Nebuchadnezzar won't stop. Nebuchadnezzar won't say, Avram Avinu was a Yochid, and yet he was saved. Meaning again, this is a reference ultimately to when Avram is thrown into the furnace of Nimrod. So again, Avram was a Yochid and he was saved. So the Gemara says, Hasam lo habi rishan bahadei, v'lo esyar v'shu selenura. Hachav rishan bahadei v'esyar v'shu selenura. So we'll say, to which Yoshua Kohen Gadol responds, Avram Avinu was one, but there were no other Rishaim with me. You have to understand, I was thrown in with two Rishaim, which ultimately, again, offset some of my righteousness. Hamri Ani Damri Inshi, and this is what people say, Trei Udi Yaveshi, if you have two wooden logs, V'chad Retiva, and one that's moist, Okdan Yaveshi L'Retiva. Ultimately, again, as much as the moist one cannot ignite, but with enough time, the fire of the two dry ones ultimately will ignite. The earners will say that when you are outnumbered, so ultimately, again, the rove has an impact on you. So again, the tzaddik might be a tzaddik, but when he's two with two other rishayim, ultimately, again, that's going to have an impact. So the Gemara says, by the way, so the Gemara understands that this was not the real reason. The Gemara, all right, so Yoshua the Gemara has to give an answer to Nebuchadnezzar. But the Gemara says, no, my time, Yanush, why is it, in fact, that Yoshua Kohen Gadol was in fact, not punished is the wrong word, but why was it that, obviously, we'll say, you know, if you're righteous enough to be saved from a fiery furnace, then what? Your clothing should come out like pressed. You know, not only sins, like, meaning it doesn't make sense. If you're righteous enough to be saved, then you should have to be, what did you, so obviously, there was something Yoshua Kohen Gadol. Listen to this. This is amazing. Amar Papa, Shahayu Banav Nosin Nashim She'inan Hagunas Laguna. So Yoshua Kohen Gadol is a Kohen. His sons married women who were not fit for the Kuna. Now we'll say, now whether this means that Mamish, that they were Psulos, Grusha, whoever else, or just that they were genealogical questions. They married women who they should not marry. Velo micha bahen. And Yehoshua Kohen Gadol did not say anything to them. We'll say, this is an incredible, incredible Gemara. You know, I think we often live in a time where sometimes societal conventional wisdom is, you know, don't parent too much. Don't parent too much. You know, especially now, the great fear is, if you tell your children what to do, they're going to go off the derech. You know, somehow, if I'm a parent and I tell my kid, no, they can't do it, they're going to go off the derech. I'll say, you know, the greatest travesty is when a parent sees their child doing something wrong and they don't step in. I don't mean like chas v'shalom, life ending. That's obviously, we all step in with that. Let's say if we see things that our children are doing wrong, if we see midos that they have that are not good, if we see them not towing the line, if we see them not doing the things that they should be doing, it's important to step in, because then parents wake up years later and they're like, I can't believe, I'm sad that my child did this. Well, where were you 10 years ago? Right? Where were you when they were 10, 11, 12, 13, 15? From where did you think that parental obligation to step in and to stop kids from doing negative things? It's not a parent's job to be a friend. It's a parent's job to be a parent. And of course, it requires a parent to have a very clear and solid and crystallized life hashkafa about what's important, what's not. But a parent has an obligation to step in, and you see that when you don't step in, first of all, chances are my kids will make the wrong mistakes, will make the wrong decisions, and I as a parent will absolutely be responsible for that. So Shuan Kohen Gadol is righteous enough to be saved from the fire, but his clothing gets singed because when his sons were doing something wrong, he didn't speak up and try to stop it. Incredible Gemara. So Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Darash Bar Kafra B'tzipori, Mai Dichsiv, Sheish HaSorim Ha'ele Nasonli. So we'll say Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus. So again, Boaz, when Rus comes to the granary, so Boaz gives her six barleys. So the Gemara says, Mai Sheish HaSorim. What does this mean, six barleys? Ile Ma Sheish HaSorim Mamish, if it's literally meaning it six stalks of barley, V'chi Darko Shalvaz L'Temataran Sheish HaSorim. No one gives six, what can you do with six stalks of barley? Absolutely nothing. So what's the pshat? I'm with Beis. Elo, sheish se'in. Oh, so maybe we'll say he gave her six son. I'll both say, six, that is a lot of barley. The chidarka shalisha lital sheish se'in is a woman going to carry six sa'a of barley. Elo, rebez ramazla, shasidim shisha banim latseis mimenu shemizbarachim b'sheish berachas. So I'll both say, rather, the giving of the six barleys was symbolic. What was it symbolic of? The six sons who would come from her, who would be blessed in incredible ways. So listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this, Yichus. And who are the six sons who come from? Rus ve'eluhein, David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Va'azaria. These are the six offspring, the six, now again, we're going to see this, that there's some machlokis with some of the Yichus over here, but we'll discuss this. These are the six men who would come from Rus. David, so we'll say, so now the idea over here is each of these men had six qualities. Each of them had six unique qualities. So the six Sa'orim that Boaz gave to Rus symbolized the idea that she would have six sons who each possessed six unique qualities. So the Gemara says, David, so what I have in my Darnach to Siv, Vayan Echam Me'anarim Vayomer, Hine Ra'isi Ben Yishai. I saw a son of Yishai, Beis Halachmi, from Beis Lechem, Yodea Nogim, he knows how to compose music, Gibor Chayel, he's strong, Ish Milchama, man of war, Navon, he's understanding, Navon Davar, V'ish Tawar, and he's handsome, Vashem Imon, God is with him. So both say, see in this pasuk, six different qualities. V'amrav Yehuda Amrav, Kala Pasuk Hazel Lo Amru Doeg Ela B'Loshen Hara. So both say, listen to this. This pasuk was said by Doeg HaEdomi. Doeg is one of the most trusted advisors of Shaul, who is a man who had incredible potential but did some really, really bad things. And the Gemara says over here, when he says this pasuk to Shaul, his entire point is to create jealousy from Shaul to David. How does he create jealousy? You also listen to this. So the Gemara says, Yodea Nagin. So each of these things means something a little bit different. What does it mean that he knew ultimately, again, how to compose music? She Yodea Lishael. He knows how to ask good questions and learning. But what's right? A good Shaila, a good Kasha, is like music. It's like music. Gibor, he's strong. She Yodea Lahashiv. He knows how to answer complex questions. Ish milchama, he's a man of war. Sheyodea lisa v'litein b'milchamta shel Torah. He knows how to go ahead and give and take in the war of Torah. Ish toar, he's a handsome man. Shemare panim b'halacha. He knows how to go ahead and give off the right answer in halacha. V'navon, davar shemevi davar mitoch davar. He understands one thing from something else. V'ashem imo, God is with him. Shalocha kimosa b'chol makom. The halacha always follows David HaMelech in the base medrash. So we'll say, the Gemara says, so Doeg is saying all of this to Shaul in an effort to stoke Shaul's jealousy over David, to essentially paint the picture of David as being greater than Shaul. Bekulu amalu Yonos amini kamahu. So again, Shaul's jealousy was not aroused because again he said to Doeg, my son Yonah's son has all of these same qualities as well. So we'll say, the idea over here is that Doeg is already trying to paint young David as a threat to the continuity of Shaul's reign. So Shaul is not threatened because he says, my son, Yonah's son, has all of these same qualities. Kevan de Amar Lei, Vashem Imo. But once Doeg said that God is with David, Milsa de Bididei, Nami Lahavarei Nabasin, Vashem Imo, the Gemara understood to mean what? That halacha always follows David HaMelech in the base medrash. That was a quality that even Shaul himself did not possess. Cholish daite v'iknie be d'shol. V'iknie be. And ultimately, again, v'iknie be d'shol. V'iknie be. And Shaul becomes very jealous of David HaMelech. Why? D'b'shol k'siv u'b'chalash ha'yifne yashia. Because by Shaul it says, literally it means everywhere that Shaul turned, he condemned yashia. And what it means is he conquered. U'b'david k'siv u'b'chalash ha'yifne yatzliach. By David, Abbasai used a different lashon, a positive lashon. Wherever David turns, ultimately, again, he was matzliach. So ultimately, again, we see that the six qualities that are espoused by Doeg were espoused as a form of lashon hara, ultimately, again, to stoke the fires of jealousy from Shaul to David. So, how do we know the Gemara says that this was Doeg? Ksiv Hacha, it says over here, Vayan Echad Mehan Arim. So it says over here that one of the lads said, Miyuchat Shebin Arim. The Miyuchat, one of the most important ones, Ksiv Hasam, Vishem Ishme Avde Shabayamahu, Nazarat Ne Hashem Ushmo Doek Adomi, Avir Haroim Asher the Shal. Okay, so it says, so therefore you see when it says Echad Han Arim, one of the young men, it means one of the most important young men who was Doek Adomi. Mashiach, so we'll remember again, the next of Rus's descendants, the next of the six, who was also endowed with six qualities. Dichsiv, v'nocha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chochma, bina, ruach eitza, ugvura, ruach das, v'yiras Hashem. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, v'edicho v'yiras Hashem. He will be inspired with literally yiras Hashem. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, melame, this teaches us, this is actually an amazing statement, shet ino mitzvos, v'yisurin kerechayim. It teaches us ultimately again, that Mashiach will be saddled with mitzvos and suffering like rechayim, like a mill. And we'll say, what does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, no, not yet, I'm sorry. Not yet. It's actually in the middle, right before, it's on the right-hand side, right before the Rashi Rava Amar, which is in the middle of the column, a few lines up from there. Haki garsina ve'erecha b'iras ha'shem arom ha'chzandria, she'alavzat ino b'mitzvos yisroin k'rechayim v'haynu. So we'll say the idea over here is something amazing. That who is Mashiach? Mashiach is a man who is saddled with mitzvos and yisurim. So we'll say mitzvos, I understand. Being saddled with mitzvos represents the idea of spiritual accomplishment. That to be the Mashiach, ultimately, again, one has to be exceptionally spiritually accomplished. But what creates the true spiritual metal of Mashiach? Suffering, yisurin. That Mashiach will be a man who will suffer greatly, but yet still maintain his allegiance and fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say this goes back to our learning in Gan HaEmunah, because at the end of the day, suffering, sickness, illness, adversity is what tests our true spiritual metal. That's what the meaning of the Mashiach will be battle tested through the adversity and difficulties of life. Rava Amar, which is actually amazing as well, Demorach Vadoin, that Mashiach ultimately, again, Morach Vadoin, look at the next Rashi, Rava Amar, my Berichu, what is the pasuk mean? It's Berichu. So the Gemara says, Demorach Vadoin, Shemariach Ba'adam V'shofit V'yodea Mi'achayim, which is actually amazing. Mashiach will have the ability The morach vadon. Morach vadon means he will have the ability to go ahead and literally smell, and judge. So the idea that Rashi says over here is that Moshiach will have the ability, lo lemara inav yishmot v'lo lemashma aznav yochiach. So Moshiach will have the ability to smell the truth. He'll have the ability, literally, the morach, to smell the truth, and he'll be able to chsiv v'lo lemara inayim yishmot. He will not judge based on what he sees. Let's listen to this. I'll just say something very interesting. That what does it mean that he'll be able to smell judgment? What does that mean? So, of course, the basic idea seems to say that Mashiach will be able to see that which is right. He'll be able to sense it. He won't even need to be able to hear the entire case. He won't even need to hear all the different details. But he'll be able just to smell ultimately again what is just and what is correct. But so there's a beautiful insight by the Bnei Yisraschar. The Bnei Yisraschar says, listen to this. Lefi shematzinu, shechush hareach lo nifkam b'chet eitz adas. Its scent is the only sense which was not impacted by Adam HaRishon's sin. That's why, again, on Matzah Shabbos, one of the reasons we use Bisamim is because scent is the one sense which is able to awaken the soul because it was never corrupted. Every other sense was corrupted as a result, ultimately, of the Eitz Das Tovra, the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Scent was the only one. Adam HaRishon, Achol Mipri Eitz Das. So he goes on. The idea over here is that Mashiach is someone who has a little bit of that original purity left in him. His sense of scent, he's able to draw on that untarnished sense of scent, he's able to draw on that uncorrupted koach ha'eden to be able to find kedushin in this world. We're supposed to listen to this next maysa. Bar Koziva, Malach Tartin Shnin, man by the name of Bar Koziva. Now, both Rashi says of it is Bar Koziva, Mimalche Hordus Hava. He was a descendant of Herod. So Bar Koziva, see, he reigned for 2 years, 2.5 years. Amru le Rabban, I'm a Mashiach. He said to the rabbis, I am Mashiach. Amru le, but Mashiach ksiv demarch vadon. So Mashiach has this incredible ability to smell justice. So let's test you. Anan, imorach vadon. So the Gemara says, ksiv demarch vadon. Nechzi anan, imorach vadon. Kevan dechazin delomarach vadon. So we'll say, so they chested Bar Koziva, he wasn't able to smell justice, and they killed him. Now we'll say, now this is very intriguing, because Bar Koziva is often identified as who? As Bar Kochva. Bar Kochva wasn't killed by the Jews, Bar Kochva was killed by the Romans. So it could be either that there are two different narratives. And by the way, according to the Yerushalmi as well, Bar Koziba never declared himself as the Mashiach. Others declared him as the Mashiach. So it could be that there are just two different narratives about what happened to Bar Kochva. The other possibility is that there are two different people who are named Bar Koziba. Okay. Daniel, Chanani, Mishael, Azarik, Stichsibahu. So we'll say, remember again, going on to the descendants of Rus. Daniel, Chanani, Mishael, Azarik, Stichsibahu, Asharn, Be'inbaim, Komo, Vitovi, Mare, Umaskilim, Bechol, Chachma, Viyode, Das, Umavine, Mada, Sefer. See, the pasuk goes through all of the different six qualities possessed by Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. My asher ein bam komum. What does it mean that they have no blemish? So Rami Chama afilu kirivda dikuslisa lo havabahu. They didn't even have like a puncture from the blood letters needle. I was supposed to say they were physically perfect. They were physically perfect. My vasher koach b'hem la'amor b'heichal ha'melech. What does it mean that they had the strength to stand in the heichal, in the palace of the king? What it means is when they were in front of the king, they would not engage in schok, in levity, sicha, frivolous conversation, sleep, and they wouldn't even allow themselves to go to the bathroom when in the presence of the king. The Gemara says, and they were from amongst the men of Yehuda. Daniel, Chanani, Mishael, Azariah, which also makes it sound like all of them are descendants from Yehuda. Amr, Rabbi Lazar, Kulam, Mnei Yehuda, Heim. They were all descendants of Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Nachmani, Amr, Daniel, Mnei Yehuda. Chanani, Mishael, Azariah, Mishael, Shvatim. Others say, no, Daniel was from the Shevet of Yehuda, but Chanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they were from other Shvatim. Umi Banecha. So the Pasuk over here quotes from Yeshaya, Umibanecha Shayetsu Mimcha, Asher told it Yikhu Bahayu Sarisam Behecha Melech Bavel. So we'll say, this was actually said ultimately again to King Chizkiah. When King Chizkiah was taken captive, so the Navi tells him that your sons will be taken ultimately again as Sarisim in the Hekel, in the palace of the king. My Sarisim, remember, Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are descendants of King Chizkiah. So what does it mean when it says that they were Sarisim? Rav Amar Sarisim Mamish. Rabosai Saris, so Rav says it means literal Sarisim. Rabosai, what's a Saris? A Saris is a eunuch. Someone who is castrated by the king. Take a look at the left-hand side of Rashi. Sarisim Mamish. Shesirsu l'chanayim mishal v'azariah. Shekein d'derach mishal malachim l'saris yisa adun k'dei shlo yisa isha v'yeponim l'avodas ha-melech. So we'll say, listen to this. So some say that the Nebuchadnezzar literally made chanayim mishal v'azariah into Sarisim. He castrated them. Why would the king castrate people? Because it was that he wanted devoted servants who would not go and devote time to family on their own. So some say that Mamish Shemin Chemish Lava Asariya, Sarisim. Rav Amar, Sarisim Mamish, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shenistarsa Avod Zara B'Yameyem. Others says it calls them Sarisim. Why? Because literally, they castrated idolatry in their days. And I was about to say that in their days, especially after the episode of the Kibshan Aish, so idolatry was castrated, so to speak. There was no more koach to idolatry anymore. Bishlam Alaman Damar Shenistar Savodazar B'Yemehem. So according to Binu, says that Avodazara was castrated in their days. Hainu Dechsev B'Chaval Lo Isi Bahon. Because that's how the pasuk says that there was no bodily injury to be found on them. So we'll say ultimately again, but the one who says that they were literally castrated, they were literally sarisim. So how could the pasuk say that there was no bodily injury to be found on them? It's obviously not true. To which the Gemara says chavlo denura. What it means is it's a reference to the fire, that when they were cast into the fire, there was no bodily injury upon them. Nur lo adas b'en. Lo chavlo v'lorecha. So let's say, what is it when the pasuk says v'reach nur? It means that lo chavlo v'lorecha is still a reference to the fiery furnace. Then neither again the fire nor the smoke had any impact on them. Bishnam v'laman damar shenistar savol lizar b'yemeyem. So according to the Binyan, most of the one says that they were nistar, so that they were castrated. It means that they castrated avol lizar in their days. Hanu d'chsev ko amar Hashem l'sarisim asher yishmer shab sosai. L'laman damar sarisim mamish mishtar yikra b'ginusei did tzadiki. So according to the opinion who says that they were literally castrated, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu refer to them like that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu publicize their degradation? To which the Gemara says, Havaha Havabuhu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you'd have to say that both, according to that opinion, Saris means both someone who's actually castrated, as well as what? As well as someone ultimately, again, who castrated Avodah Zarah during his days. Right? So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Gemara in the middle of the Chanani, Mishael, and Azariah narrative. Shkoyach.